Hello and welcome to the Thursday, May 19th edition of Juno Afternoon. We've got a great show. We have the featured artists of the Juno Jazz and Classics, Rad Trads, right here in the studio. Then we'll learn about some local events, including Hospice and Home Healthcare's two upcoming events, a bike rodeo, and then ending with Arts Up. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A settlement between the city of Flagstaff, Arizona, and the Hopi tribe over snowmaking on the San Francisco peaks has broken down. This comes after the city council this week indefinitely postponed making a decision on the deal. Arizona Public Radio's Ryan Heinches reports.
Hopi officials say they'll walk away from the settlement and return to court. They hope to stop the city's sale of reclaimed water to the Arizona Snowbowl Ski Resort. The Hopi sued the city in 2011 and claimed snowmaking is a public nuisance because of potential environmental contamination. Earlier this year, a possible deal was reached, however, and the settlement was approved by the Hopi Council. It also needed the Flagstaff City Council's passage. The deal required the city pay for the construction of an earthen filtration system to treat water sold for snowmaking for pharmaceuticals and other chemicals. Some members of the Flagstaff City Council raised concerns about the system's cost, as well as opposition by other tribes, including the Navajo Nation. 13 southwestern tribes consider the San Francisco peaks sacred. The Hopi case is the only unresolved lawsuit against the city regarding snowmaking. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
A new online tool hopes to compare how well governments around the world say they recognize indigenous rights and whether those indigenous communities are actually benefiting. Tristan Autone reports from the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues in New York.
Here's how the website Indigenous Navigator works. Individuals, organizations, or governments log on and fill out a questionnaire designed to measure whether indigenous communities are enjoying basic human rights. For instance, does your community exercise free, prior, and informed consent when outsiders hope to use and develop land? Or, to what extent is primary education taught in your indigenous mother tongue? The end result is that international observers have community-level data that can be used to hold governments accountable.
The good thing about it is that the rights holders, the people themselves, are the ones making the judgments and making the assessment of whether those rights are respected and implemented.
Joji Carino is with the Forest Peoples Program, a non-governmental organization helping implement Indigenous Navigator. She says for tribal citizens in the U.S., the website could be a powerful tool to keep federal agencies in line with international human rights standards.
This is of relevance to all indigenous peoples around the world. And if they want to be part of the large movement of indigenous peoples, breaking down barriers as well as pushing the possibilities of the full implementation of indigenous peoples' rights to self-determination, lands, cultures, then this is a tool that will actually allow them to study this in detail.
Questionnaires and surveys are available to individuals, community organizations, and tribal governments at indigenousnavigator.org. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
Native American business leaders in Montana are brainstorming ways to take advantage of new broadband capabilities in their areas. Montana Public Radio's Eric Whitney has more.
Barb Stiffarm is chairwoman of the Montana Indian Business Alliance. The alliance is holding its annual conference in Great Falls this week to brainstorm about helping Native-owned businesses succeed.
One of the opportunities that I see is broadband and a lot of our tribal communities here in Montana, that new technology is currently being made available to help promote business with some opportunities and some of the trading that goes online.
Last year, a telephone cooperative in central Montana got a $30 million U.S. Department of Agriculture loan to establish high-speed internet that will bring it to areas including the Rocky Boys and Fort Belknap reservations. The USDA has also provided $20 million in grants nationwide to upgrade internet service across Indian Country. I'm Eric Whitney in Missoula, Montana.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Support by the year-long celebration of Native American artist Lloyd Kivanu at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, the IAIA Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, and the New Mexico Museum of Art. Info at nmculture.org/LKN.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello there. It's 5 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And the weather right now is 67 degrees in Juneau, Alaska. It's going to be sunny tonight and tomorrow and partly cloudy tomorrow night. So weather's pretty fantastic. Speaking of tomorrow night, I have the pleasure of having one of the featured artists of the Juneau Jazz and Classics right here in the studio. They are the Radtrads. Based in New York City, fresh from a tour in Malaysia, and then off for the Summer Festival tour, and they're here in Juneau, because it's always beautiful in Juneau. They're here to play the Rockin' Party at Jack tomorrow at 7:30. So in the studio, we have five of the six guys. We have Michael Alden, Michael, Patrick, and John. We're missing Sam, who comes in tomorrow. And these guys have a brand new album out, first full length, just came out last week, and they have gotten some great reviews. They played all over New York, all over the country. They've opened for Taj Mahal and Buddy Guy, and here they are in our little burg. So welcome, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
So fresh from New York City and fresh from Malaysia before that.
Yeah.
Yep. Correct.
It sounds great.
Feeling very fresh.
Yeah. I bet. Definitely fresh. Indeed. So, we were talking before we went on the air, so you guys have been together 4 years, and you're based in New York. So how did it come about that the band kind of formed?
Well, most of us met at college at New York University, and we pretty much wanted to play in bars and get free beer. So we formed this band, and we did a bunch of, like, four-hour bar gigs. We did a bunch of cover songs, old traditional jazz and blues songs and things like that. And then eventually we just started playing more and more, and now we're started playing all original music and eventually became a real band. That's the story.
That sounds great. That's like everybody's dream. Like, you know, we met in college and we wanted to have a band, and now we play in our garage. That's not what happens again. And also, it must be hard to get gigs in New York City. Like, you're saying, oh, we want to play in bars, or was it just like, oh, you know, let us play and, you know, you could pay us.
Depends how high your standards are.
Yeah, I think.
Are you going to elaborate?
No. Yeah, it is. I don't know. You want
to? Yeah, it can be, of course, it can be tough to play in New York City. And then, but what's even harder, I think, we're lucky to know a lot of, be a part of a larger community in New York of a lot of really amazing musicians. And I think we've reached a point now where maybe working, you can call it working, there's a lot of gigs to have in New York. Maybe the question is, how can I also pay my New York City rent and do this?
Yeah,
that's kind of the big jump, you know. I mean, we can find a place to play on a Monday or Tuesday in Brooklyn somewhere, but will I get more than a dollar to get paid to do it, you know, or two drink tickets? So that was kind of a jump, I think. We started playing to have fun, and then we all graduated from college and was like, okay, what do we do now? And we all wanted to keep doing it. And we just kind of kept pushing and figuring it out. And through playing these long gigs, we also kind of caught the itch really to start doing our own original stuff, do something new. A lot of us started as instrumentalists, and now 4 out of 6 of the guys in the band sing lead in a really strong, incredible, unique voices that really are a big part of who we are as a band. So, yeah.
Sounds great. It sounds really great. So, how would you describe your music, the original stuff that you did?
Say, kind of modern rock and roll.
You should see everybody's, like, pointing to each other. There's five guys in the studio. They're all kind of like, it's really nice because everybody's the pause, and then they point at each other as opposed to everybody jumping in. So, I'm sorry. So go ahead. Talk about this.
I think we've decided on modern rock and roll, sort of. We're New Orleans influenced. We're rock and roll influenced. We're very blues and soul influenced. But it's kind of a potpourri. of styles.
Well, who writes? Yeah. How does this happen?
All of us, yeah.
How does that happen?
Well, we started out with just bringing in, usually one of us writes a song and brings it in, but then all of our ideas are contributed to make the arrangement for the band and suggestions, and we roll with that. And definitely, I think also some of the songs we bring in for this band are a little bit different than we might do on our own or with other in another situation, but it only sounds like us once it comes in and it comes out and then we play it. So, but it's cool. It's funny as we love all this different music, blues music and soul music and gospel music, country music. And as the more we listen to old different music, you realize how closely related it all is. So, it's cool. Our sound comes from that somehow.
Great. Well, I'll have you guys in the studio. We're going to talk a little bit more, and then when you guys exit, we're going to put your music on, right, Chad?
Oh, we don't even have to tell you.
No. I'll have the five of you in the studio, so that's great. So what's the touring like? Like, what's the touring life like? I mean, you guys are on the road, correct?
It was funny. Yeah. We were joking about it. I think when we first started touring, it was pretty rough. In the sense that, you know, we were trying to save money, we're crashing on people's couches, we're playing clubs, and then maybe for the last year, we've been actually been doing a ton of festivals. We just went to Europe for the third time in February. We just went to Asia for the first time. And so we're stepping it up in a way where, you know, we're not staying in suites, but we're staying in hotels, and we're getting paid, and we're having fun. But at the same time, we were joking that, like, you know, it was a 40-hour flight to Malaysia and back, and then out to here. It took a whole day to, and none of us really know where we are right now. It's kind of
still pretty gnarly.
16-hour time difference.
We've been 100 hours, I think, traveling. By the time we get back to New York City on Sunday, it'll be 100 hours of travel.
You head back on Sunday,
Which is so, in that way, it kind of reminds us of when we first started touring and we were sleeping in the van and stuff. So, you know, it's still pretty gnarly. But
now we're just sleeping in the Abu Dhabi airport.
Van. The flights thing is funny, too, because it just, I was just joking yesterday, it feels like you put in like a Yahtzee shaker and then you just pop out and you're in Malaysia or you're in a Juneau, Alaska. our landing yesterday in Juneau, I woke up, I'd just been sleeping on all the flights, and then I raised the window and saw the sunny sunset, like golden hour, like
this phenomenal
flight to Juneau. And I was like, holy crap. I think, touring's really cool, but I think for all of us, we really love seeing the world and these different places and meeting different people. And it was great to get here a few nights early before our show, because we got to hang out last night and get some food and
meet some locals,
go to a bar, and yeah.
I mean, it's kind of what I can speak for myself, but I think it's speak for all of us. Like, you know, this is kind of the dream. Playing in bars in New York was a blast and still is. But when you get to travel and you show up in a place we've never been in, Juneau before, and we're playing at this beautiful festival, and I'm sure there'll be lots of smiling faces tomorrow that we've never met before. I mean, what's better than that, to get to share what we love to do with new people all over the world? I mean, it's the dream.
It sounds great. It really does sound like an idyllic dream. Like, hey, let's start a band, and here we are. So I have two more questions, okay? So there are a lot of aspiring musicians in Juneau. We're small, but we're hearty. And, you know, anyone can answer this question. When did it become apparent, like, wow, this is really going to happen? You know, like, this is going to happen. We're going to be able, you know, because you went from the vans to the planes, which is kind of still the same rev, I hear. But it's, you know, it's definitely growing and stepping up. You got full length, you're playing major festivals. You know, when did it become apparent that it's like, wow, this is going to happen?
I mean, we're actually all, in addition to being in this band, we're all full-time professional musicians in other projects and stuff. So actually, none of us have really had day jobs since the day we graduated from college, which meant that some of us lived in some pretty crazy places in order to have enough rent to do that. But yeah, so everyone's been playing, you know, 250 times a year for the last every year, and not 250 times in this band, maybe, although we play all the time, maybe 150 of those were with this. So in that sense, we always knew we were working musicians, and then now it's a different level of oh, we're doing it with our band and we're going around the world and playing our own songs. That's different than just playing.
I think also to directly for your question, we had this discussion last night where we said, I think it's been, we just hit a year mark where staying in hotels has been the standard. So we're very young, but it was funny because I don't think any of us realized that, it seems. So thinking, right. I think it's been changing and happening, we haven't been realizing it as it's been changing, but then as we look back, we're like, wait a second, our standard of living or standard of the kind of gigs we're playing has been changing. So I don't think there has been like an aha moment. Also, we do everything ourselves. Michael, who's our trumpet player, is also our lead booking agent. So,
Guru.
So that's not, I think that's kind of a more modern phenomenon you see too, is the rebirth of the player coach. there wasn't like a moment where we got signed to the big record label or the crazy booking agency and some guy in a suit came down and gave us the spiel about what was going to
be. I'm going to make it.
It's not like Wayne's World. You know? It's not the end of Wayne's World.
But the whole model has changed.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, I think also maybe why we haven't had an aha moment is that a big part of this band and all of us as individuals, and part of why we love being in New York, is that we thrive when we're in an environment where we're constantly pushing ourselves to be the best that we can be. And so, as great, it was so funny now, because if you had shown us our tour schedule this summer a year ago, all of us would have freaked out. And we're still freaking out a little bit. It's unbelievable. But in the same way, we know that we have more work to do. We know we just released our first major album. We have more albums to do. We have more original songs to write. We have more people to reach. We have bigger stages that we're ready to play. So in that same way, I think we've never... There's no sense of complacency at all. I think we're hungry and we believe in ourselves and we have a lot more of the world and life left to discover. So
I would say so. You guys are really young, and I listened to some of the stuff before I came. It sounds awesome. So if you are just joining us, we are talking to the Rad Treads. They're here for the big party at the Jack tomorrow night, big dance party. They've got a driving percussion section. Just about everybody sings except two, and I don't know who those two are, but I don't think it really matters. And original music, and they've opened for Taj Mahal and Buddy Guy. They had their first new full-length album out, so check it out tomorrow. Well, thank you so much for coming. We're going to listen to your stuff as you go, and enjoy Juno, because it's always like this. It is sunny and fantastic. So thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, oh, pick a reason. Why
that was the Ranch Reds. They are at the Jack tomorrow at 7:30, and they were so much fun to talk to you. You have to go check that out. It sounds great. All of our original music. So our next guests are locals. They are here from Hospice and Home Healthcare of Juneau, and they're here to talk about a bunch of events that are happening. We have Nathan Lovick, who is the Fund Development, and Joni Pico, who is the Bereavement and Volunteer Coordinator. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. So what is – there's a couple of events going on. What's going on?
The first one is happening this Saturday at 1 o'clock. It's a remembrance gathering and special candlelight ceremony for people who have lost loved ones. And it doesn't have to be a loss that's happened just this year, current. It's open to the public, and anybody can come and memorialize a loved one who's passed away at any point in time.
That sounds lovely. Where is it?
It's at the Bridge Adult Day Center at 1803 Glacier Highway. And we are going to have our candlelight ceremony. There's going to be some music. Jackie Farnsworth, the lovely pianist, is going to be there. We will have some speakers. Our new director, Aaron Walker-Tolles, is going to provide all of the welcoming of everybody who wants to come. Food has been provided by various places in town. A great, great help this year has been Super Bear, and we really want to especially thank them for going the extra mile to provide some nourishment so that we can have a little reception afterwards.
That sounds lovely. So it's Saturday at the Bridge Adult Daycare at what time?
At 1 o'clock. And it lasts for about 1 hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. And I want to really emphasize that it's open to the public. There is no charge at all. The second thing that we're doing, we're starting on Monday. We're using this as a little bit of a kickoff. On Mondays this summer, we're going to have a Good Grief Walks. It's a series of walks at noon. We're going to meet at the accessible Twin Lakes path. If people want to bring a brown bag lunch and we sit down and chat a little bit, sometimes we are finding that walking in community with other people who are grieving is really helpful to the healing process.
And that's going to be every Monday throughout the summer.
We're starting on the 23rd, going through August 8th, with exceptions of Memorial Day and the 4th of July. Also, free, open to the public, no registration required, no time commitment. Anybody can come.
That sounds lovely. Mm-hmm. Both those events sound really lovely. Sounds great. Mm-hmm. And then, Nathan, is there a whale watch tour coming up?
We do have a whale watch tour. All proceeds from the whale watch tour actually go to support Hospice and Home Care of Juneau. The date for the event, sponsored by Allen Marine, so a special thank you to them, is June 4th. The whale watch is 1 to 4. Tickets are still available, and you can find them online at our website, ccsjuneau.org.
Because Hospice and Home Healthcare of Juneau is a division of Catholic Community Services, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so people who perhaps never did one of the whale watch tours, what can they expect? Where do they have to be? And
they can expect to see whales, Joan.
Guaranteed.
That's actually an excellent question, because this will be my first whale watch tour myself.
So they meet at Stater Harbor, probably.
Yes.
Like all the Allen Marine.
Yeah. Totally encourage people to show up a little bit early. From what I understand, the boat will not come back once the voyage has started. So we like to avoid any of those embarrassing incidences. So
nobody can swim out of the boat.
No, not that I'm aware of.
And how much are tickets?
Tickets are $75. Anyone can buy tickets. It's available to anyone. I think if you have special needs, just notify us ahead of time, and we can take those into consideration.
Okay. So this is a fundraiser. We're talking about the memorial ceremony on Saturday and these memorial walks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're talking about the Whale Watch Tour, which is a fundraiser. All
That's
proceeds
right.
go to the Hospice and Home Care.
To support these events. Another unique thing about Hospice and Home Care is that they never turn any away. So we do rely on the community for some support, because we never turn any away those added expenses and bereavement services and stuff that extend far into, I think, a year or two.
Yeah.
I mean,
we always try
to be there for everyone. So
bereavement services are available even before you lose a loved one. We're available to help people. We're available to help the person who is ill and passing away with their grief. and saying goodbye. And then we are, you know, there are federal and state regulations that govern some of what we do. And one of those is that we provide bereavement services to the families, caregivers, loved ones of the person who has passed away for a period of 13 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We also have, if you have not lost a loved one who received hospice care, if there's a sudden death or somebody has been ill and they are outside of Juneau, we are still available to our groups, our walks, our events are open to everybody. We have some free bereavement counseling that's provided, and you do not have to have been involved with hospice to receive those services.
Okay, and it's an excellent service. It's an excellent community service delivered by professionals. And so if you have any questions, what's a good number for somebody to call or a website to check out?
We have a Facebook page.
So we're relatively new to Facebook, actually. I'm glad you mentioned the Catholic Community Service thing, because many people are very, very familiar with hospice and home care in the community. They're very familiar with Southeast Senior Services and Child and Family Services, but they're not aware that these are all divisions of Catholic Community Service. So the best way to find information on us is through the website, ccsjuno.org, Catholic Community Service own personal website, and Facebook, Catholic Community Service, Inc. will be our Facebook page. We also post any events, especially free ones or fundraisers, other community events of partners, and any job postings that we might have within the company that people can look up. Several offhand pop into mind. Just in Juneau alone, we're looking for an accountant, a activities assistant at the Bridge. There is a prep cook for the Junior Senior Center and a registered nurse, actually, in hospice.
Right. So we're also looking for some we have restructured our volunteer program, and so we are recruiting for volunteers. And a very quick, direct, old-fashioned way to reach us is just by telephone. And telephone number is 463-6106. And that is the hospice and home care telephone number. And anybody there can answer questions or direct you to the right person who can meet your need.
That sounds great. So we've talked about the Whale Watch Tour, which is June 4th. We've
June
talked
4th.
About this remembrance gathering and special candlelight ceremony, which is Saturday at 1, and then these Monday walks. But before I let you go, let's just go back to the common denominator. What are the services that hospice and healthcare provide?
Well, we
have the bereavement, mm-hmm. and you're looking for volunteers and those hosts, but the hospice and home health care.
Well, the important thing is that people can be referred to hospice when they are in need of comfort care at the end of life. And we can provide those services with a referral from a physician. And so when people are ill and have the sense that their time is getting a little bit short, they can have a conversation with their doctor and be referred for nursing care. In addition to nursing care, we provide physical therapy services, occupational therapy, speech therapy. We have a social worker who goes in to see families. We also have a chaplain who is really an unbelievably kind person, and he seems to be just up to the responsibility of helping people of all faiths and denominations with meeting their spiritual needs. The important key thing is talking with your medical provider about the plausibility of needing those services,
right,
and getting
is,
that referral.
It's mm-hmm. regulated by federal and state.
Yes.
Well,
money.
Fundraiser June 4th.
Yeah.
Nathan, do you have anything to add?
I'm really looking forward to the Whale Watch. This actually will be my first time too. Though I'll be working it, I am reassured that I will get to see many whales myself. So I invite everyone to come out. It's kind of one of those things where you're supporting a good cause but having a good time at the same time, you know.
$75 is a great price to go.
Yeah, it includes a light buffet, so food will be present at on the boat too. So
you know, it's a fundraiser. It's also a nice community builder and gives people who buy the tickets sometimes are people who have received services, and it's just good to be in companionship with people who understand what that's all about.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Well, thank you both for coming in on this beautiful day, and more importantly, thank you for what you do for our community.
Thank you for having us here.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 19th of May, 2016. It's the birthday of Malcolm X, born Malcolm Little in Omaha, 1925. When he was 4 years old, living in East Lansing, white supremacists set fire to the family's home. East Lansing police and firefighters, all of them white, came to the house, but they stood by and watched it burn. When he was 6, his father was murdered. Police declared the death a suicide, which invalidated the family's life insurance. The boy's mother never recovered from the murder, went into a mental institution when he was 12. When he was 14, he told his high school teacher he wanted to be a lawyer. The teacher told him to be realistic and think about becoming a carpenter, and the boy dropped out of school the following year. He was arrested for larceny, 1946, went to prison. An older inmate encouraged him to use his time to educate himself, so he started reading books from the prison library. To improve his vocabulary, he copied out an entire dictionary, word for word, and he began a correspondence with Elijah Muhammad, the founder of the Nation of Islam, and became one of their most prominent organizers. He took the surname X to symbolize his lost African heritage. In 1964, Malcolm X broke with the Nation of Islam when he learned that his mentor was having multiple affairs contradicting his own teachings. Malcolm made the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca in Saudi Arabia, where for the first time he related to people of all races, came back to America with a new message, dictated his life story to the writer Alex Haley. The book, The Autobiography of Malcolm X, came out the next year, shortly after Malcolm X was assassinated while speaking at a rally in Manhattan. He was 39 years old. It's the birthday of Johns Hopkins, born on a tobacco plantation in Anne Arundel County, Maryland, 1795, earned his fortune in the dry goods business, also bottled moonshine, earned a great fortune, and left his money to found the Johns Hopkins University and the Johns Hopkins Hospital. It was on this day in 1897 Oscar Wilde was released from Reading Jail, where he'd been sentenced to 2 years hard labor for homosexual offenses. He'd had a romance with a young Oxford student named Alfred Douglas, who introduced Oscar Wilde to the underground world of gay prostitution in Victorian London, which Wilde found dangerous and thrilling. He said it was like feasting with panthers. The danger was half the excitement. He served his 2 years in prison, was released on this day in 1897, left right away for France, where he wrote his final work, The Ballad of Reading Jail, and died 3 years later, alone and penniless, in a hotel in France. Here's a poem for today by Ted Kooser, Visiting Mountains. The plains ignore us, but these mountains listen, an audience of thousands holding its breath in each rock. Climbing, we pick our way over the skulls of small talk. On the prairies below us, the grass leans this way and that in discussion. Words fly away like corn shucks over the fields. Here, lost in a mountain's attention, there's nothing to say. A poem by Ted Kooser, Visiting Mountains, from his book Flying at Night, published by University of Pittsburgh Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by LegalZoom, providing legal help to Americans with online services, customer support, and independent legal advice. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com. and by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices, subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, providing services for identification, evaluation, and rehabilitation for individuals with hearing difficulties. Located in the Jordan Creek Center. Information at 789-6780.
Hello, it is 36 minutes past the hour on Thursday, May 19th. This is Juno Afternoon on your very own KTOO station. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Partis, your host on Thursdays. And hey, tonight from 6 to 8, Alaska Fly Fishing Goods, Rain Country Fly Fishers, and Trout Unlimited Chapter 581 will hold their 23rd annual casting night at Twin Lakes. This is a free event open to all who are interested in learning to fly cast. So they'll have the equipment, there'll be food and beverages, and it is a great night for that. And this is definitely designed for kids. There'll be three rounds of fly casting lessons, and then including one specifically for kids. So check that out, 6 to 8 at Twin Lakes tonight. So our next guest is Pastor Harvey of the Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church. She's here to talk about two things that are happening, one this weekend and one ongoing throughout the summer. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joan. Thanks for having me. And it actually, we're a little early, but I want to get folks planning because the event isn't until June 5th.
Oh, sorry about that.
But I want to talk about summer lunch programs. And this came about 5 years ago. There's a coalition of all the different food pantries. And we gather once a month and talk about some of the gaps that we are seeing. And one of the big gaps was nutrition for kids in the summer.
Before we even get to the summer lunch programs, can I just ask a question as we go? So when you talk about the various food pantries, specifically, what does that mean?
So there are close to a dozen food pantries located throughout Juneau and Douglas that provide food. And the best way to find where those are is checking out the Southeast Alaska United Way website. We've been partners in gathering people together and kind of identifying and closing gaps. And so one of the big gaps that we identified was child nutrition, especially during the summer, because many of us, our pantries were hit so hard in the summer, and food drives slack off in the summer, so it was like, what is going on here? And we realized the stable meal that kids were getting at school is not there. Grandparents are often taking care of their kids. So we decided to start a summer lunch program at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran.
And that's on the Loop Road, right?
So that's on Loop Road across from Taku Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty sparse that first year, and we realized kids were having a hard time getting there. And so we didn't want to do a bus and drive around and do that, so we're like, let's get bikes. Let's make sure every kid has a bike and a helmet. So the next year we did a bike rodeo, huge block party. We do the bouncy house. We have food. I'm so excited because we work with the Mendenhall Flying Lions and Juneau Freewheelers. They come and they do bike repairs. So the bike that's been sitting all winter, we can either fix it up or we swap it out for one that works. And then they have to do like a little bike course. Just reminders, which side of the road do you ride on? You stop, you look, and all those directions to keep kids safe. And then we have a whole crew of middle schoolers who are trained as bike mentors. And so if you have a little one and you're not quite ready for them to ride their bike to church on their own, I send a couple middle schoolers to go, and they'll ride with the kids to get them to the program safely.
That sounds wonderful.
You know, it really is. It's neat because it teaches kids that independence and getting themselves there. So
what is the summer lunch program? When does it start? So school wraps up a week from tomorrow.
Right.
So the school lunch program, there's a couple of locations. And what's the skinny on that as far as the who, what, where?
So ours does it. We like to take a week off because I have a lot of teachers who volunteer. And so we take a week off. And ours doesn't start till June 6th. So the bike rodeo is on the 5th, Sunday the 5th. Then we start that Monday. There are three other sites around town that I'm super excited about, and they start earlier. There's one in Geneva Woods, Cedar Park, and Greening Park. Those will start May 31st, and they run from 11:30 to 1.
Every day, Monday to Friday.
Monday to Friday. And they'll go the whole summer. And we'll go until August the 5th. So we start a week after, we end a week early. And they're all volunteer run. The other programs are a coalition of Northern Light United Church, Douglas Methodist, and Common Grounds, along with lots of community support. So we're trying to get satellite programs because we want it that kids can either walk or ride and make sure they have lunch. And we all provide activities. Like we have science activities and recreation activities and cooking. We have Wednesdays cooking day. So if ever you want to volunteer, Wednesdays are a fabulous day to come because we have about 50 kids. And there's a certain level of chaos. and we can always use adult volunteers. And so if you are interested in volunteering for either the bike rodeo or the summer lunch, feel free to call the church, 789-4093. Or we have a website, SOV Lutheran. Or just stop by and we do a background check and volunteer form. But we need about 10 volunteers for every day.
Wow, what a wonderful resource. And
we read with them and eat with them. It is. It's been, and it's so fun to just get to hang out with them.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so if you are just joining us, we're chatting with Pastor Harvey of the Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church about two separate things. We're talking about this bike rodeo that is on June 4th, okay? And it's a big block party, 4 to 5:30. Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church is out at the Mendenhall Loop Road on the way to the glacier. So it's a big party where bikes are repaired and kids are given bikes for the summer. And it sounds like a great opportunity. And I guess if someone is handy with bikes, if there are bike mechanics out there saying, do you need help? Or?
Yep, we keep our mechanics really busy. and even if it rains, we take all the chairs out of the sanctuary, and that's where we fixed bikes last year. And
it's
so,
never going to rain again. What are you talking about?
That's all right. And the kids whine more on sunny days than rainy days. Can we come inside? It's so hot. But it's Sunday afternoon, June 5th, and rain or shine, we're there. We also fit helmets. We want to make sure every kid gets a helmet on their head, and then I try to make sure that they get a prize if they actually wear it to summer lunch and all that. But we really want to encourage safety and independence.
What a great program.
Figure it out.
So if you're listening and you want to volunteer, by all means, give Pastor Harvey a call at 789-4093. There's information on the Southeast Alaska United Way website on all the different locations. There's four locations in town.
Yep.
And then the other thing is, so if people are listening and saying, oh, do you need food for these pantries? What should people do if they want to help? So there's the time. You need people. You need actually people because it's Monday through Friday.
We need people. Money is actually easier than donating food because we have a set menu, and so that's a lot easier for us. We also run a food pantry along with many others. So if there is food that you'd like to donate, we always appreciate that. Summers are very stressful for families, so remembering all the pantries around town is important, and the Southeast Alaska Food Bank is very important.
All right, that sounds great. Well, thank you for coming in today and also for all that you do. And so you heard it here today. So there's a summer lunch program in four different locations starting in June and right after school at some locations in June in the Shepherd of the Valley Church, and then the rodeo on Sunday, June 5th. So thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you. Best job ever. I get to play kickball all summer.
That sounds great. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up.
This is Bird Note. When it comes to raising a family and getting them out of the house, American Robins have got it down. Day 1, a male and female mate in the spring. Day 8, approximately, the female's built a nest of grass and mud. A few days later, she's laying 4 days, 4 eggs. She sits on them for 18 hours a day, and they hatch. It's been about 3 weeks. Both parents frantically feed the nestlings, each chick about 40 times a day. More than 3 pounds of food in total until the big day. The four nestlings hop out of the nest. Mom and Dad tend and feed them for another 3 weeks, and then they're on their own, fully fledged at 2 months. Time for the parents to take a well-deserved break, right? Not a chance. Most robins raise 2 sets of young each season, and sometimes a third. So the female lays another clutch of eggs, and the entire family whirlwind begins again. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Mondays are back at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, now open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., and Sundays noon until 6 p.m. Schedules are available online at juno.org/parkrec/diamondpark. For more information, call Diamond Park Aquatic Center at 586-2782.
Every 2 minutes, another person is injured in a drunk driving crash.
Just a few sips impairs your judgment, concentration, and reaction time.
If you have been drinking, don't get behind the wheel.
Instead, designate a driver, call a trusted friend, or sleep somewhere else for the night. Because it's better to miss one night of sleep in your bed than to endanger yourself, a stranger, or a friend. This message is brought to you by KXLL in support of the Taylor White Foundation.
Okay, it is 13 minutes to the hour. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And, hey, we were just talking about the free lunch program for the summer. And I just want to let everyone know that the Augustus Brown Pool will be closed Monday, May 23rd through Sunday, June 5th for maintenance. And then it will open up again on June 6th. But the Diamond Park Aquatic Center is open. So for the last segment of our show, we have the lovely Miss Nancy Ducharney, who's the Executive Director for the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Hey. And is it a little busy this weekend?
Well, we're coming to the rousing conclusion of the Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. And but that doesn't mean that's the only thing there is to do. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So let's see here. This evening, of course, there's bluegrass. There's casting night at the Twin Lakes Shelter at 6 p.m.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's a good night for that.
It is.
Let's be going out there. And then there's bluegrass at the Red Dog Saloon. You have to be 21, of course. But there is a phenomenal violinist and pianist tonight at the Jack. Roman, I don't think you're supposed to pronounce it Roman, but Kim and Maxime Pakhomov. I'm not sure how to say their names, but all reports are that they're phenomenal. The people that have heard them already are, and they've been rehearsing. So it's, I'm looking forward to that one. Junie B. Jones, the musical, is at JDHS. Perseverance has Annapurna still going. There's West Coast Swing Dancing at the Imperial Bar at 7:30. And then there's Abbey Karaoke and McGivney's and Open Mic at the Alaskan. So on Friday, there's the Annapurna again, and then at the Jack, Rad Trad's Dance Party.
We talked to them. They sound great.
They sound amazing. Yes. It's going to be a fun, fun night. And then at 10 p.m., the Gang Whalers at the Alaskan Bar. So a big Friday night. Going to have a good time out there. Saturday, 9 a.m., it's the Shrine Cleanup Day out at the Shrine at St. Therese's. And if the weather's like this, it'll be a beautiful day to be out there. There's a Special Olympics Law Enforcement Torch Run at the Twin Lakes Pavilion at 9:30 in the morning on Saturday. There, Juno Douglas City Museum is doing their walking tours, their history walking tours. They start on Saturday. I think they go Saturday, Sunday, Monday or something. I'll keep track of that as we go along here. Jazz and Classics has the Inuksuit percussion thing. John Luther Adams, and I think it's for 99 drums or something. So,
wow,
it's big. I don't know how they're doing it, but so go on out to the campus at 2 p.m. At 4 p.m. is the Cannabis Celebration at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. At 5 p.m. there's a Thunder Mountain Baseball Falcon Fiesta Feed and Bake Sale at Thunder Mountain. At 6 p.m. there is the 7th Annual Alaska Authors at Sea Whale Watching Cruise with wine tasting by Specialty Imports, I might add, just in case you needed to know that. Of course, there is Perseverance's Annapurna, but the big news is the finale for Jazz and Classics' Mavis Staples. She is amazing. We're lucky to have her. And I'm really looking forward to that one. If you don't have your tickets, you best be getting over there and getting them right now. And then you get up real early on Sunday and go up to Haines and play golf at the Haines Golf Tournament at 8 a.m. Who does that? People golfers. Who are already in
golfers.
Haines.
I think golfers even go earlier
they
than
might
that.
Yeah, they probably do. Yeah, you don't want to get too
hot. You can go golfing, you know, pretty at 5 a.m.
Any time around here, yeah. At 10 a.m. on Sunday, there's the House of Wickersham's free tours up at the 7th Street. We are starting our guided tours, guided art walks. You meet at 1 o'clock on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday at the visitor's booth there by the library and go on a tour of various public art pieces. There's an amazing number of them. We had no idea. So there you have it. On Sunday, there's a fundraising concert for Henry Cheng, 2 p.m. at the Arts Center. There's going to be music and food and all sorts of stuff. Henry's got some pretty serious medical issues, and they're trying to help with that. Annapurna is at 4 p.m. on Sunday. There's international folk dancing at 6, karaoke at 9 out at Suite 907. On Monday, let's see, the House of Wickersham tour is available. Makerspace is open out on Anka Street at 6 p.m. If you haven't checked that out, you might want to if you like to use power tools. It's really fun. Go there. Monday's our drag at the Rendezvous at 7:30. On Tuesday, we have House of Wickersham tours, art walk tours, museum historical walking tours, and I think we're having an arts roundtable that day. Catherine Heumann will be there with Sean Boiley to talk about the plans for the art complex. So if you're interested in getting caught up to speed on that, there's quite a few exciting things that are transpiring right now. So come to the roundtable at the Jack. It's at 5 o'clock. On Wednesday, there's a various tours, House of Wickersham, the art walk, and the historic walking tour. You can do a lot of walking around here. Up in Skagway, it is the Northwoods Writers Symposium at 4 p.m. on Wednesday. So
with an unbelievable faculty lineup.
It is amazing.
If you are interested in writing, if you're a writer, if you're interested in writing, go to Northwoods Writers Symposium online. They have an amazing Alaskan faculty and an excellent keynote. That is a wonderful conference.
So you could go up to Haines and do the golfing on Sunday and sort of hang around up there and have a good time, and then on Wednesday go over to Skagway and do your writing.
There you go.
They've got a great holiday weekend for you.
Exactly.
So there you have it.
Exactly.
So that's what's going on.
All righty. So, Nancy, before I let you go, I have to ask, I have a couple of questions. How many people work at the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council?
We all are working.
I know, but how many staff?
The staff for the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, I think, is 5 full-time people and 12 half-time or part-time people. We've just added a couple to get through the summer. And, you know, there's just so many things going on, and it just takes a lot of people. And on top of that, we have a myriad of people who just come in and help out. It's amazing. And that isn't counting the Juno Jazz and Classics staff and Betsy Sims' team at the Studio A. So
right.
It's a busy little bustling place.
It is. That's why I'm asking you guys to do so much.
And plus we have
much.
Lots of dogs that come through.
Well, that's important. The dogs are not on the payroll. Just to full disclosure, the dogs are not on the payroll, but they do get bones, but from their own owners.
Yes, yes.
Or not from the funds of the JAHC. And then the other question is, slam parties, when do they start?
Yes, that's coming up right now. There is a preview for Friends of the Slam or people who wish to become Friends of the Slam on Saturday the 4th. Tickets are on sale now, but they are going fast. People are coming in and buying like 5 or 6 tickets at a time. And then there is on the public event is on the 6th,
okay.
Monday the 6th. And then on the 10th, we'll start having our block parties over there dancing.
Sounds great.
With the Capital City Big Band.
Sounds great. Nancy, thanks for all that you do and all your staff. And
thank you.
You think, wow, how do they do it all? Give them a buzz and ask them if
join
you can help.
Up.
Exactly. All right, so here we go. We are, this is something from Scott Burden. So over the last week and a half, KTOO has been presenting videos that they recorded during this year's Alaska's Folk Fest, and this is called the Red Carpet Concert. This is number 5 of 10, and it's Kim Beggs of White Horse, Yukon Territory. Here's her tune with Heart in a Bucket.
It don't even have a lid on it. You wouldn't believe it. I walk with a swing and it sings. I carry my bucket everywhere, and it's light as a feather. Wouldn't believe it. I crash into things and it sings. I carry my bucket up mountains and we'll paddle in the roughest seas. You wouldn't believe it, even with thunder and lightning it sings. Feathers add up to 1,000 pounds or more, it seems. And when I look in, I see the reason why all of the wonderful drained out of me. It's just a little tiny pinprick.
So that is Kim Beggs. This is part of the Red Carpet Concert Folk Fest session videos. It's a collaboration between KTOO, Juno filmmaker Ryan Cortez, and audio engineer Justin Smith of Gustavus. Check them all out at KTOO. There's many of them. Tomorrow, Lori Scanling will be your host. She's got a great show, UAS, Perseverance, a local fundraiser, and then Saturday's Cannabis Celebration. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of Juno Afternoon. I'm Joan Pardis. It is glorious out, 66 degrees out. Tonight will be clear. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with decreasing clouds into the weekend. And I am looking at a 5-day forecast, and there is no rain. All right, maybe scattered showers Sunday night. Thanks for joining us.
You wouldn't believe it. The smaller the counting, the higher the thinking, the singing.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on Translators K276A.